Welcome on in. It's a little solo edition of the High Hopes podcast presented by Miller Lite. I think we're going to need a good amount of Miller Lights for this run because hopefully it's a little bit extended. But reacting, you know, the Brewers came back, won tonight. Jackson Churia is a superstar. Garrett Mitchell, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Extend this series so that heading into game one on Saturday, we should be looking at Zach Wheeler on the mound versus whoever ends up winning this series, their fourth best starter. So good outcome tonight. Extend the series. Hopefully the Brewers win tomorrow. And that's not to say that the Brewers are some kind of pushover. We just saw the Phillies go out there, what, a week and a half ago and not play that well. Now, again, that was a little bit more of a desperate Brewers team. But and I expressed this earlier today, and a lot of people react to it, but it's genuinely how I feel. And I'm worried about the Mets. Now, I think if you listen to this podcast and if you've listened to, you know, you follow me on Twitter, let me work here. We might be, you know, we're working on something here. So big start tonight with the Brewers, never a doubt. Our brew crew, shout out to Reese. But you know, we're one win away. So, but the Mets have that look. Maybe tonight killed them. I hope tonight killed them. I hope tonight was like okay, the steam runs out. I have no idea. They keep pitching Phil Maton in huge spots, which is beyond me, but whatever. So still a good outcome. Either way, you're going to have Wheeler on the mound versus the fourth best starter of whoever wins this series. So good to see that game extended. Trio is going to be awesome. But everyone else in that lineup, I just, man, it's tough to get too caught up in the Brewers. They started Frankie Montas in a game two tonight. They had Freddy Peralta. So I'm pulling for the Brewers tomorrow. Doesn't mean that they're a pushover, but anything to kind of take the head off the snake here with this Mets team. So a little high hopes daily. I can't stop thinking about the Phils. It's 4:08. Why does it have to be 8? Why can't it be 4:05? Whatever. 4:08 on Saturday. Can't get here fast enough. I just, because at this point, I think you feel the way that I feel, where it's you talk to yourself in almost every scenario, and you just have to see it play out. And, you know, we've talked a lot on the podcast about, you know, hurry up and get to October, which, you know, I've kind of been at since May, but I feel like our listeners and you are I think we're all there now, because we want to see how this looks in October. We want to see how this team looks heading into, you know, a postseason where they have real expectations. Last year there was expectations. I don't think last year was expectationless. We know what 2022 was. It was awesome. Wouldn't trade it for the world, but it came out of nowhere. Last year didn't totally come out of nowhere. They were the number one wild card, and they took care of the Marlins, and we know what happened after that. But this is a postseason that you're heading into with real expectations of bringing home a world championship. And to see this team have the time off, and that be something that they fought against. I mean, they fought what Brian Snitker said in spring training about essentially complaining about having those days off. They heard that. They internalized that. They took that as a slight. And now it's their turn to prove, no, we can do it. We can have the 5 days off and go and still win ball games. Like, there's so much at stake here from, like, what's almost like next year. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but how do they handle next year? Do they want to win the NL East? Are they more okay lurking and making sure they're in the wild card? I don't know. But there's again, this is what I'm talking about. When we're talking about just get us to 4:08. We're now talking about, is the bye going to be one of the distractors? So I like how they've handled this week. Obviously, this is the first time they've been in a situation like this. Wasn't following super closely what other teams were doing last year. I know the Braves had a sim game with fake crowd noise, but they did a sim game today. And a couple takeaways. One is Bryce hit a home run. And I know it was the ninth inning. I know it was off Tanner Banks. But I think the most important thing and the most key thing for this team to go on a run is obviously Bryce being healthy. Bryce, for the last month, month and a half, whatever he's been dealing with it, for how long he has been dealing with it, he obviously has not been the same player from a power department standpoint. I give him a ton of credit. Bryce deserves a ton of credit for adjusting and still hitting over 300 during the time that he's been in a bit of a power outage. Ton of credit. But I don't need a watered-down version of how good Bryce is heading into a crucial, crucial postseason run. And it's just so, and it's hard to ever fully doubt the power coming back because, again, in 22, he played the whole postseason on a torn rotator cuff. Last year, it was coming back from the torn rotator cuff. So he's played injured or he's played hurt in the postseason before. This time felt a little bit different because he had dealt with that one for a little bit. Last year was just recovering from the injury. This one was like, is he a different player? And the fact that he did hit a home run today and this time off, which he talked about last week as something that he was looking forward to because he thought maybe some rest would get him back and feeling more comfortable in that elbow. So I think that's huge. That's a big takeaway. Castellanos hitting a home run today as well. That's important. That's great. But Bryce going yard off a lefty, whatever, but showing signs of power is really important. Now, he did have the home run, you know, late last week to get the 30, which was good. You know, important, but I want to see that continue. I need to see that continue. So he goes yard. Other takeaway, and it's important for later in the series, but it is notable, is apparently Ranger Suarez looked good today. And Rob Thompson said he's up to 92, 93. He had good command. And, you know, I made the quip on the air when this was brought up earlier. It's like, okay, Ranger Suarez looked good, but how does that make you feel about the Phillies offense? Because I think a lot of us are in the same boat of, what offense are we getting? Because if there's one thing that has worried me, and I think we talked about it on the podcast, if you listen to the final out, you know, I feel like I've said it and repeated it a million times, and it's not like a brand new take, but I think we all have a similar feeling of the thing that could cause us to not go the way that we planned, which, by the way, now that everyone's on the same page of we're worried about the offense, I mean, doesn't it have the feel of the offense is great and for some reason the pitching falls apart? I'm not here to speak things into existence, but, you know, that's the one I keep thinking about when I keep saying worried about the offense, worried about the offense, worried about the offense. But if you ask me what is the thing that keeps you up at night heading into this postseason run, it would be the offense chasing, the offense swinging and missing, and the offense striking out. So what has me concerned from that standpoint is that the last, you know, week and a half of the season, the K's started piling up. They started out in Milwaukee. They struck out, 44 times or 41 times? No, I think it was 44 times in three games. I mean, it's egregious. They struggled against the Mets from a strikeout standpoint. They scored some runs, but from a strikeout standpoint, it wasn't exactly flawless. And then the National Series, I know it wasn't exactly the most watched Phillies series of the season, but the strikeout concerns were there. So, Ranger pitching well today and being up to 92-93, on one hand, you're like, awesome. On the other hand, you're like, hold on, is there something to worry about with the Phillies offense? And it just brings me right back to, you know, not everyone here is an Eagles fan, but it reminds me of Elliot, our guy, ESP, tweeting out the training camp stats. And it's like, oh, great. So he's thrown 360-some million passes in a row without throwing an interception. And then we've seen the Eagles defense, and it's like, oh, well, that makes a lot more sense. So that's my only cause for pause with Ranger and what he did today. Spencer Turnbull also threw, and Rob Thompson said he was a bit erratic. Spencer Turnbull is an interesting case, and we talked about this last podcast, but the more and more you think about it, and just another prime example of why we needed to be 408 on Saturday, is we're starting to talk about Spencer Turnbull. Is he going to be a part of this thing if Ranger falters? I think it's something to be brought up because, you know, Turnbull is not going to be someone that is going to be trusted to go deep into a game. But if he's going to be someone that they think could pitch out of the bullpen, you know, they're looking for a long reliever. Taiwan, obviously not. Colby Allard, no. Max Lazar, maybe. I like Max Lazar a little bit. Tyler Gilbert, maybe. But in a perfect world, that should be Spencer Turnbull. So Turnbull threw today. He was a bit erratic, but again, this is his first time. I mean, he's coming back off this lat injury. I think it's the second time he's thrown, and the other time was maybe a week and a half ago, so I expect him to be a little bit rusty. But I think what's interesting about him is they're going to give Ranger game four of the DS 100%. They're going to give Ranger game four, and it's so funny. I think I saw a quote, or maybe it was just it was basically what the Phillies are thinking with Ranger, and it sure seems like they are in the hope category with Ranger. Like, yeah, hopefully when the playoffs are here, let's flip a switch. And it's funny to see this idea of like, oh man, I don't know what we're going to get out of a number four starter. So Ranger's going to pitch game four. They're going to give him the opportunity. We know what he's done in the postseason in the last couple of years. Fantastic. Besides most, game seven of last year, notwithstanding. So he's earned that. But if it goes anything like it's gone the last couple trips out there, it's hard to say, okay, well, you get game four in the NLCS, or whatever game he's lined up to pitch in the NLCS, God forbid, hopefully they get there. I wonder if there's an opportunity there for Turnbull to at least start the game. Again, not going to go deep, but can he give them one time through the lineup? Can he give them three, four innings? Can maybe one and a half times? I don't know. But Turnbull, I think, has a chance here to possibly help this team. I don't think it's just some kind of throwaway. So Harper goes deep. Ranger looks pretty good. Cassianos goes deep. And Spencer Turnbull also through. So I think all that stuff is interesting. But maybe the most interesting thing, and the thing that has been so hotly debated in Philly circles, whether you're on Twitter, whether you're on Philly's Reddit, or on the radio, is who's starting game two. And in what Rob Thompson said earlier today on a Zoom, saying how obviously the home road splits are in favor of Chris Sanchez. And reading Tim Kelly today, he said that, Nola seems non-committal, doesn't care. It doesn't matter if I pitch game two or I pitch game three, which is exactly what I expect from Aaron Nola. And he's been around the block for a little bit here. This is part of the strength of Rob Thompson, him saying this is not an indictment of you, Knowles. It's game three is a swing game in this series, and we're going to need you. And again, I think I've said on the pod and on the air or whatever, but part of the reason why I think Sanchez in game two, they've kind of been telegraphing that it does depend on how the opponent does against lefties and versus righties. So, maybe after last night, the Phillies were anticipating that the Mets were going to win. So like, all right, we'll get Sanchez ready for game two. I mean, it seems like with this pitching schedule, Nola's preparing to pitch game three. Who knows? But it seems like it's trending towards Chris Sanchez pitching game two, which I do think is smart. But Sanchez pitching game two, it's his first marquee start. I know he started a game last year against the Diamondbacks in Arizona, but that's when the expectations were low for Chris Sanchez. They were like, good story, but who is he? And in his first marquee real postseason start, where you have real expectations of being the number two or 2B to Aaron Nola, I would much rather have it be at a place that he's comfortable so that he can get off and rolling, and he can feel, ease his way into playoff baseball is probably not the best way to put it, but rather than it being on the road in Citi Field, which that Phillies Mets series, 2 weekends ago, felt like a playoff series. That Sunday night game, I don't know what came over me, but I felt when they lost, I was devastated. I think because I wanted them to clinch up in New York, but it was one of those games where I need this, and we needed it. So it had a playoff feel. Do I really want to put Chris Sanchez in that spot? Not that I don't think he could do it, but am I, if I was placing bets, if I was making a bet on would I rather have Sanchez at home or in that environment, you're up there, it's either you're down 0-2, 1-1, or up 2-0, I would like someone that is a little bit more veteran in that spot being able to take down game three, which is a huge swing series or swing game in this series. So again, they could be down. It's a massive, massive spot. So if they do go Sanchez game two, I think it's the right move. I don't think it's overthinking. And part of the reason why I don't think it's overthinking is I think it also comes back around to game four, because Rangers are going to start that game unless they're down 1-2. Unless they're down 1-2 and they need Wheeler on short rest, they're going to go Wheeler. I would be surprised if they didn't go Wheeler. But game four is going to be so interesting because you're probably only getting Ranger to go one time through the lineup, which means you're going to have to pitch a good amount of your bullpen that game. It's going to be one of those Rob Thompson games where, you know, game one in Houston in 2022, game one last year in Atlanta, where he's pulling a starter after three innings or whatever, super early into a game, and he manages his way through it. That's what game four is setting up to be, because I don't think they trust Ranger going two times through. Now, it could be a thing of the eye test, and off of what he did today, maybe they're like, okay, we trust Ranger a little bit more here. They'll have to get into the game and see how it's going before they make any kind of determination on that. But as it feels right now to me, he's gonna be a one-time through the lineup kind of guy. You know you're gonna need your bullpen. You go Nola game three, because he probably, if you were betting, not everything's 100%, not everything's set in stone, but if you were betting heading into the series, who has a better chance to go deeper into the game, Sanchez or Nola, I would bet on Nola going deeper into the game. Not that Sanchez can't, but I would bet on Nola. So I would think that I need more of my bullpen guys in a game two. Plus, in that game two, it's a chance to be super aggressive if you're already up 1-0 to take a 2-0 lead to where you can be more aggressive with your bullpen. So I think I would prefer to have a lot of bullpen guys ready to go for game two. So I have the off day, and then Nola, trust him a little bit, maybe let him go an extra inning, or maybe let him work out of jams so that I'm not running my bullpen into the ground. And then knowing that I need probably going to need a lot of arms in game four. So game four is massive. Obviously, take care of this in three games and we don't have to worry about it, but that's likely not going to happen whoever they play. So again, I think starting Sanchez is the right move, but I thought it was really interesting that it was the first time it kind of got put out there. The home road splits were factoring in. Nola doesn't care about pitching at game two or game three. It's not going to be a shot to the ego if he's not pitching in game two at home. And it's really, for me, it would be a vote of confidence saying, hey, I trust you on the road too. So really interesting stuff. But tomorrow we got a nice deciding game. Mets versus Brewers. So Mets Brewers tomorrow night. I don't know who is gonna be on the mound. I guess I gotta look that up real quick for whoever. So Quintana versus Tobias Myers. I think Tobias Myers is good. So I would be leaning Milwaukee, but Quintana obviously has the postseason experience and just has kind of a big game feel to him. So either way, we will all be locked in on that one. If you're in the area, we're having a huge pep rally tomorrow at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. The whole station, WIP, will all be there. James will be there in the morning, 6 to 10. Midday show obviously will be there with Jillio and Hugh. And then me and Spike and Ike will all be there working on some big guests. So hopefully that we get, now it'll be on the phone, so I don't think that won't be in person. And then me and Broads from 6 to 7:30. So we're gonna try to do High Hopes daily. You know, when we don't have a podcast or we don't have a post game show, I'm gonna be here, you know, making sure that there's something in your feed every single day so that we can go through this playoff journey together. And hopefully it's a long playoff journey, because man, we are all dreaming of a parade down Broad Street. So it all starts Saturday, but if you're in the area, come out to Chickies tomorrow. Probably going to do another one of these tomorrow night as, again, we'll be reacting to Game 3 between the Brewers and Mets. So I think we'll all be locked in trying to see who we're going to play on Saturday. As always, go Brewers. But, man, I hope they can get the job done tomorrow night. I don't need the you got to believe Mets. I can just feel it. I can feel it. So I think a lot of us can feel it. I know there's a lot of portrayed confidence out there, and I'm confident too. Like it's not super doom and gloom. Like I'm confident about the Mets, but I would like to just knock that whole little like let the Tigers be the team of destiny this year. Let the Tigers be the team that goes to the World Series or goes on that magical run. Doesn't need to be the Mets. We don't need to see the Mets do that. But either way, that's gonna do it for me. Thanks to everyone who tuned in. I'll be back tomorrow night. And as always, listen, if you are looking for a Phillies podcast to check out, to react to games, send us the old subscribe button and let your friends know as well. Always appreciate it. We love the podcast. It's our favorite thing that we do. And it's this time of the year. It's time of the year for the Phils. So go Phils, go Brewers, and I'll talk to you tomorrow night.